This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call on 4th July 2022. It's Independence Day in the US, so we will have quiet markets, cash equity markets are closed. We'll have the futures open. But it was anything but quiet on Friday, at least in the fixed income market. We had U.S. 10-year yields plunge through 3%. The treasuries, the benchmark index, were up around 1% and even more during the session. But they came down. Yields came up a little bit higher. We closed at 2.88% on the U.S. 10-year. And that plunge in yields lifted, as you can see here on slide two, the general equity market. We closed above 3,800 on the S&P 500 futures. And if you look across the theme baskets, all the most high duration equity themes that you can think of were doing well. So next gen medicine, cybersecurity, e-commerce, bubble stocks, renewable energy. So a lot of support coming in here. But I think the overall main topic for this week, I think it drives everything. It's this, inflation expectation have come down over the past couple of weeks, and it's all a function of higher probability of a recession and fears of a recession, because that is cooling the inflation expectations. So in the short term, there's support from lower interest rates into equities, but if we get a recession, then obviously it's bad for everything, including commodities. And you have a great chart here on slide three about the growing U.S. recession fears.
Yeah, it has most certainly been the main focus now for the past few weeks, and say almost it accelerated last week. We had another round of lower than expected data, economic data from the U.S., and that basically led the Atlanta Fed GDP Now forecast to update their weekly number on where they see GDP for the current quarter or last quarter, and they dropped to 2.1%. So basically, based on this, and if the incoming data to finish the quarter stay on this track, we will see a technical recession in the U.S. two subsequent quarters with negative growth. And as Peter highlighted on slide two there, the markets that are responding here and now to the recession fears has been the commodity space. So while the interest rates have been coming down, it is obviously coming down on the back on some potential bad news on the economic front, and that's driving down the commodity space. So just the impact on the interest rates on the market expectation for interest rates has also seen quite a dramatic turnaround. As you can see, it's still here on slide three. These are the December 3 months forward to see interest rate contracts for December 22 or all the way up to 24. And as you can see, the 24 one has dropped around 1% in expectation for where interest rates will be in 2 years' time. And that basically doesn't leave really much room for additional rate hikes. So it's going to be a very interesting autumn that we come into.
Yeah, and I think it to some extent it also it underscores the fact that this is a very, very unusual environment. When you listen into veteran hedge fund managers like Druckenmiller, etc. I mean, this is a very, very difficult environment to trade. The fact that you can be up almost 1% in the December 24th interest rate futures for the Fed funds rate, and then going down again almost 1 percentage point in the matter of one month, is just telling you that the volatility, not only in markets but also in the economy itself and expectations for it, it's one of the most difficult environments, and the equities have been down the most in more than 50 years in a 6 month period, at least the first 6 months of the year. And I saw someone posted that the U.S. benchmark index for fixed income is the worst it has been in more than 100 years. So this is really extraordinary. And if you find it difficult to trade, don't be too hard on yourselves, because it's very tough for everyone.
It is indeed, and Peter, just on that, as you mentioned there, we're going from December 22 to December 23. We're basically going from hiking rates very dramatically to then suddenly cutting rates. And the whole question is really, well, will they cut rates before inflation is actually under control? And I think that will still remain a key focus, especially from the some of the investment metals. To put in gold here in slide four, it's actually one of the most one of the relatively boring commodities right now. It's doing, I would say, still doing reasonably well. We did test key support last week at 1780. Has bounced back above 1800. India has introduced import taxes on gold in order to lower their ballooning trade deficit, and that could obviously have an impact on physical demand here in the short term. So we are probably we're probably going to struggle a little bit for direction here. The focus will most certainly be on the dollar because it is testing some pretty interesting levels here, and whether it gets rejected, and also very much the input that we get from the silver and silver getting it from the industrial metals, because the industrial metals really have been taking this recession worries quite badly in recent weeks. Just finally on gold, the speculative interest is back to in futures almost back to the lows. We saw back to 2019 levels almost, and we've seen ETF holdings also drift lower. So again, plenty of room for movements in the market if we get a change in direction here towards the upside again. I got a couple of commodity slides, Peter. Maybe I should just run quickly through some of them before we move back.
Take it away.
Obviously, we haven't got John here. I think actually, did I put in a? I thought I did. I'll do that tomorrow because I think in the currency markets, in John's absence here, we most certainly keep an eye on 103.50 to the downside in euro dollar. That is looks like almost a triple bottom right now. If we can bounce off that, then that could potentially signal some dollar weakness ahead. But in terms of gauging that in the short term, we probably need to still keep an eye on dollar yen. So 134. We haven't quite been there yet, but 134 is, I would say, the key area of support in dollar yen. If we start to take that out, then that could be the first signal that we get some dollar weakness, and that potentially could also alleviate some of the recent selling pressure we've seen in the commodity space. But moving on to crude oil, I call it fortress crude oil here on slide five because it really is a fortress right now. It's standing up to the economic worries that we're seeing unfolding and impacting some of the other sectors, and it really just highlights how commodities can remain stable or even go higher at a time of slower demand, because of supply obviously is the other part of the equation. If supply is tight, then the market will obviously have to find a level where it can balance. And right now, we are seeing supply being tight, and that was even tightened further, I would say, after the announcement on or the monthly production report from Bloomberg. They basically take a sample of the, or they basically analyze the OPEC production levels. And what they found was a month of non-compliance in terms of not actually being able to meet their own targets. We fell 1.6 million barrels behind the OPEC 10 group, as we call them. These are the members with quotas, so they don't include some countries like Iran and Venezuela. But generally, we are seeing producers generally struggling to increase production. And just a small insert that even Saudi Arabia, they're stabilizing now around flatlining around 10.5 million barrels a day. And you can see on the dotted chart, it should obviously be higher compared to what is according to their target. So we are struggling. And as long as we continue to do that, it doesn't really matter. We actually do need demand to come down or demand to stabilize and potentially come down a bit in order for this market not to move even higher. So for now, I see this market range bound because we got this tug of war going on. But literally looking at those supply numbers, we need lower demand.
And talking about this whole energy market, apparently this morning we have got Germany's trade data in, and Germany's trade surplus is gone. It's gone into a negative 1 billion euros for May. That's the first negative trade balance print since 1991. So on a monthly basis, they have in less than a year gone from almost 20 billion in surplus to negative. Obviously, it's a function of the energy crisis, punitively high electricity prices and energy prices in general. But I mean, it's just And you know, of course, the collapsing euro, it's yeah, quite dramatic.
It is very much
what's
so
happening to Germany.
And also remember, the key part of Germany's export is a heavy commodity dependent. It's chemicals, it's automobiles, and machineries. So this is, they're just stuck really in a very bad position right now with the input costs going up to the extent they are. So that adds to the risk of slowdown here in Europe. Before we move on back to you, Peter, and take a look at Tesla, from the weekly update, we can obviously see that speculators are responding to this loss of momentum and demand fears. And we've seen quite a big drop in speculative interest in the 24 major commodity futures that I track in my weekly cut report. That will be out a little bit later today. But the net length across the three sectors dropped to a 23-month low. Even the energy sector is being sold, even though the prices are holding up reasonably well. And it just highlights the need for reducing. When you see this loss of momentum, you see this kind of selling come in. One that I do note is the copper, where we now see quite an elevated short position. We did break down during that reporting week, which ended last Tuesday, and it just highlights as well, copper right now is not only being used as a gauge on China, but it's also a macroeconomic hedge against recession, because you can't sell crude oil as a recession hedge, because crude oil's got some very, very tight fundamentals. So instead, you are focusing on the industrial metals and especially copper, because that's where we have most of the liquidity. So that's why copper is probably potentially being sold harder now than fundamentals justify. But we obviously need to see this market stabilize. I'm focusing now on the 350 level. That is the low end of the recent consolidation range that we had more than a year ago.
All right. Let's go to some equity news. So we over the weekend, we had Tesla reporting its Q2 delivery figures. And with just over a quarter of a million, they missed estimates. And it was the first quarter-on-quarter decline in more than 2 years, obviously impacted by supply chain disruptions, but more importantly, the COVID outbreaks in the Shanghai area that have severely constrained its output at the Shanghai factory. And yeah, I'm going to be curious to see how the market is reacting to these news, because with the BA.5 variant here in Europe being extremely, extremely contagious, you have to wonder whether China's zero COVID policy will be under pressure again for the rest of the year and cause even more disruptions to Tesla. Keep in mind that they have this 1.5 million production target for this year. So with currently staying just above 550,000, they need to produce almost a million cars in the final two quarters. So that's quite a ramp up from current levels. I don't know whether it's even possible with all the constraints we're seeing in the world in the physical markets everywhere. So but that's really something to keep an eye on. On the other hand, Tesla is a high duration equity because of its very high equity valuation. So the low interest rates here, of course, is balancing and offsetting a little bit of that weakness coming in from weaker than expected deliveries. On the macro calendar, very quiet day. We have June PMI figures for Canada on the manufacturing side. We have Eurozone PPI for May out at the 09 GMT. Otherwise, it's a very quiet day. All eyes are on the RBA tomorrow in Australia, whether they will hike the cash rate, they probably most certainly will. We have the June ISM services figures on Wednesday, and FOMC minutes. Also curious to see the color in the minutes on the recent rate decision. And then we also have JOLTS job openings for May, which I think is very important to tie in together with the worsening initial jobless claim to get a idea of where this US labor market is headed, which we'll get a little bit more a confirmation of on Friday when we have the US non-farm payrolls, and we'll get also the average hourly earnings. So very important week, to say the least, on the macro front. With that, Ole and I will just say thank you for listening, and we'll be back same time and place tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call, or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.